What's up, folks? Welcome to Nino's Corner. I'm going to try to make this YouTube friendly. We're going to keep it clean, keep the punches high in case of a knockdown. Go to the neutral corner. folks, get your trim with Nino. Trim with Nino. A new study reveals a surefire way to increase your odds of losing weight is with the habit of stepping on a scale. Researchers say stepping on a scale frequently helps you shed unwanted pounds compared to if you didn't, by keeping your goals at the front of your mind. But hundreds of thousands are looking to accelerate their weight loss with supplemental support. I found an exceptional alternative that uses naturally sourced and science-backed ingredients from Mother Earth to support weight management, reduce cravings, and boost metabolism. Most importantly, you can save 51% on it this month only. Simply go to Trim with Nino. Click the link down below in the description below. It's for a limited time offer, folks. It is selling out fast. This product is going quick. So Trim with Nino, folks. Get on it. All right, Juanito, can you hear me, Juanito? This is crazy. Red October
Nino,
is here.
Nino. Hey, bro.
Right. I mean, I wish we could talk more about, you know, the things we do privately, but I understand you go in your lane, you go at your speed, Juanito. So I'm going to give you the reins here, as I always do. Try to make this YouTube friendly. And if it gets too hairy, then too heavy, then we'll go on to the back channel. But man, Juan, it's here. It is here. Hamas has attacked Israel. It's game on. Red October.
You know that.
But can I say one last thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get on it, because look, same thing happened in October with the these things tend to happen around October, right, Juanito?
Well, there's certain seasons for certain things, and so there's a repeating cycle where you have events that keep happening kind of cyclically within certain state windows. And you know, there's several different kind of overlapping ones. But oftentimes when we look, they will see coordination with other festival dates, occult dates, you know, Jewish holidays in this case, that have some kind of ritual meaning or importance.
Well, I'll tell you
like
what,
that,
I'm not going to any more music festivals in October.
Well, and that one might have been played, but then again, you know, they go in sequences. For example, Airplane, we find stunning number patterns. I mean, stunning. And one of the guys that did the best work on that I think is unchallenged as far as the complexity and the detail and understandability is Cal Donny, K-A-L, and then last name Donny, D-A-N-I. And he's done, I've mentioned him many times, but his stuff on airplane crashes, when we took that and put it on other stuff and looked for similar patterns that were stuff he hadn't looked at, we found, I think, four separate series that all followed a similar pattern that were more recent. And it was actually very disturbing that anybody would be doing something like this, that, you know, coldly, if you will. But let's get to the more important stuff right now. So you've got about 24 hours before Israel is going to go into Gaza and start, you know, essentially door to door. And that kind of fighting is pretty compelling stuff. It's not like 5 miles high or, you know, 500 feet high. I remember back when we had the Lebanon situation in the late 70s and early 80s. And one of the pilots, we were talking, and when they were going in to attack certain Hezbollah locations inside Lebanon, they would have an apartment in a building where they knew where at. You just think about this, you know, building 10, 12 stories high, 100 apartments in it. They would come in with cannons off their F-15s straight into one apartment, and they had to try to get it with exacting precision and not miss, you know, to the apartments left and right and above and below. And they were that precise. And they put a few rounds right through an apartment just to get one particular group that they had determined was present at that location. That's, you know, and that was to avoid, you know, having to go into Lebanon at that time and actually occupy certain areas because it was just so dangerous. In this case, they're going to take about 250,000 troops, and they're just going to go door to door. And, you know, their intelligence services have mapped out pretty precisely where most of the places are that they're concerned about. Now, in the meantime,
here's my issue, Warren. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Why would you pick a fight, Gaza, with Israel when they supply your electricity and your resources and your fuel?
Well,
I mean, that's just a no-brainer to me. I wouldn't do it.
You know, they consider their situation occupied, and there's a certain component there that this is be like Capone is in control of your county where you live, and you can't trust the police because Capone has an informant on every corner, every block. And so do you go to the police or do you go to Capone if you got a problem, if you need something, if you want something? Everybody's got to pick a side. And for the people living in that area, they're not all Hamas supporters. That's just the way it is. People, it might look that way, but you can go to certain parts of the country and you'll find white supremacist groups that are pretty, you know, embedded in a location, a county or something like that. You know, they might only be 10% of the people in that county, but everybody kind of knows that you don't want to cross that group. You don't want to say something. You don't want to do something that really pisses them off. Any gang, you know, it doesn't have to be something like that. It could be, you know, MS-13. MS-13 might have, you know, 1% of the people in a neighborhood, but they've got them, you know, cowering. Because if you hit their radar and they decide that you're opposed to them, they're going to deal with the issue. And the police aren't going to get there in time, and your brother and his friend aren't going to be there in time. You'll have a shootout with three of your family and 30 of their gang. And then nobody will have seen anything when you're all done. Hamas is that way. And they're brutal towards anybody in the community that's perceived as, you know, not being with the cause or even an informant or something like that. Why? Because the people in those areas, they, you know, they're not good with this a lot of times. So they're going to go in door to door to door and start.
What about
taking it apart?
You know, Hamas being here on American soil. You know, we know that the immigrants are coming here by the tens and thousands a day, and we're not vetting them. I see it.
Well, being,
and we know that there's going to be cells to, activated, I believe. What's your thoughts on them starting some kind of civil unrest here?
Well, I don't know that they'll have any great civil unrest. They do have backers and supporters here, absolutely. And, you know, there's been plenty of allegations of some of those groups that are in support of what Hamas is doing. I saw people flying yesterday that had ribbons that are in support of the stuff that happened with Hamas yesterday. I was pretty surprised, and that was in airports here in the U.S. You know, I think that's was actually pretty disturbing to me, because I would not have expected that kind of blatant display exactly here. But you know, it's one thing if you're in the right neighborhoods where that might happen. It's another thing when in the airport and in a broader crowd like that.
Yeah, just wow. So Juanito, we know Biden gave $6 billion to Iran, even more than that to Iran before. Also, when Taliban, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, Taliban took what, $80 billion worth of our military technology and equipment. So basically, the way I'm looking at this, and I know most everyone's looking at this, is that who instigated this? Who wanted this to happen?
Well, part of the thing that's disturbing is that, for example, Egypt warned Israel 10 days before the attack that they had solid intelligence about the attack that was coming. So saying they were completely surprised, that's wrong. They were not completely surprised. If Egypt had it and gave it to Israel, I guarantee you Egypt had it and gave it to the U.S. With that in mind, why then did the $6 billion get released to Iran? Iran was the one that was behind this. Iran was the one that, you know, has been supplying the rockets.
In Where the cover of a hostage from? Release, right?
Well, that was the $6 billion payout, yeah. But again, let's put it this way, Nino. So you give $6 billion to them. You know that they're planning an attack, and you have Americans in the area where that attack happened. And then, by the way, how many hostages did you get back from Iran? And how many hostages does Iran now have by proxy with Hamas? Remember, American citizens were just taken hostage in Israel. As well as Israelis taken hostage. So now you got a few hostages back, gave them $6 billion, and they got a few hostages back and the $6 billion. On what planet does that make sense?
Right. Unless you're instigating the fight. It's like a boxing promoter to me. Same thing. That's why I can understand this so well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Best enemy money.
Two fighters in the same fight. It's
well,
it's
again,
so easy to see.
Tom Clancy was a pro at writing these mystery thrillers where you understood what was going on in the background. And I remember talking with him about a particular technology that he incorporated in one of his books. And it was so low tech and it was so precise in the way that it caused massive disruption at a choke point. And it was, because you didn't expect it. You didn't see it. You know, you have this incredible high-tech piece of machinery that costs hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was taken out in a most crucial moment when the operators were blinded very instantaneously, ever so briefly, and all of a sudden, bang, you're crashing expensive pieces of technology over a relatively low-tech attack. That was the situation for Russia and Afghanistan. At the end, when Russia said, okay, we're done, we're out of Afghanistan, we were fighting them by supplying Tennessee mules to hike supplies through the mountains and various types of relatively light arms and a few complex missile systems, a handful to take out the aircraft up high and the aircraft down low, and so they couldn't operate low or high safely. And then the final coup de grace was a engineered sandstorm during sandstorm season that just so happened to be a little bit stronger than generally happens because we own the weather. And they put mines by the wheels of aircraft on the tarmac, Bagram, and then snipers were able to shoot those mines at a distance when the wind calmed back down, the sandstorm was over, the guards are coming back out to guard the area, and they took out $200 million worth of aircraft in 15 minutes. And that's when the Russians knew the war was over. If you can put $100,000 worth of mines in place and take out $200 million worth of equipment, you can't fight that war any longer. Same thing happened in Nicaragua when we got these
red-eye missile knockoffs, $1,300 a piece, made by the Chinese, brought them in, got them to the Contras, and then helped them come up with a winning strategy to take out their Hindi helicopters. And as soon as we took out, you know, less than a half a dozen, the Russians said, okay, we can't afford this anymore. $1,300 missile takes out a $5 million helicopter. It's over. We can't sustain those kinds of losses, not just of people, but of equipment. So here, this is the Israeli attack that you have here is the equivalent of box cutters taking down buildings with a few people behind them, allegedly. Right. They had a relatively low-tech system that we had numerous. I mean, I told you a little bit in the background. I don't want to say any more, but we've known about certain aspects of what's here for quite a long time. And it's not quite as simple as what you're being told in the media, but it is a very effective, relatively low-tech way to conduct an attack. Look, Israel knew it was coming. They even knew what it was going to look like. You know, Egypt was warning them. Why did it happen and why was it allowed to happen? Well, because, you know, just like the missiles, Hamas has had thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of these missiles. Hezbollah has them also, all supplied from Iran. And those missiles have been pointed at Israel the whole time, but nothing's happened. They just keep accumulating more and more and more. When Syria was going hot, Iran was shipping those missiles through Syria to get to Lebanon and to Gaza. And four times Israel used a very specific type of ultra-low residue nuclear device to take out shipments of these missiles into those regions. I mean, that was 10 years ago. Two of them we caught on film and showed that they were airbursts from drones, and these were extremely precise nuclear.
Where is this going to lead now? What direction is it? Where's the trajectory going? Because lots of politicians and celebrities are going to get behind this, stand with Israel. That's exactly where this is going. Pence already is blaming Trump. You got RFK coming out talking about we got to help them fund their missile domes. We got, you know, we know the celebrities are getting ready to get behind this. We're already sending aircraft carriers out into the sea. This is not going to cool off. They've got what they want, Juanito. And
well, the Gerald Ford, which is a carrier group, is the most modern of what's out there currently and latest generation. And so they're sending that into the region to stabilize and to have show the flag and all that sort of thing.
So the same people that are sending out our aircraft carriers and everything, we're also giving Iran money. Also, well, funding my Iran.
Let me make sure that we're understood in this, Nino. You can't not assist here. We may have known that stuff was coming,
but you can't. No, I understand that. I get that. But what I'm saying is, assist after we already gave them the money to do what they want. Now we got to come to the rescue.
Well, it certainly is two-faced. On the one hand, a portion, government divided, enemies in the camp, the administration, supporting the groups that began the Arab Spring.
I mean, do they not think this is going to come back to bite them in the ass? Are they just that confident, that arrogant?
Well, from a globalist standpoint, I go back to the 25,000 foot view. If you're too close to this, you're one side or the other, you're one side of the line or the other, and you see things only, Israel, Hamas. If you go a little higher, you see it's actually Israel versus Iran and all of the arms of the octopus that Iran is controlling through the various terrorist groups and the rocket supply and like that. If you go a little bit further back, you see the money and the connections back to players like the U.S., Saudi Arabia, where Brennan was station chief, the coordination with Afghanistan. Afghanistan and Iran were not cooperative for a very long time. Suddenly you got arms from Afghanistan that are showing up in this situation. Why? Because it's all for sale. And then you got Pakistan, and what's the connection with Pakistan, who assisted in the cover story at some level further back, and where, you know, I would hope your audience would be paying attention. All right. All right. Well, I mean, again, at a higher level, you got other people that are coordinating this stuff because they're moving pieces on the chessboard. And this is chess at five levels. And they want to use this to that. This is a game on a global scale. And you have lots of other things that these players are looking at in order to get to their ultimate ends, which something like this is designed to fracture. Have you ever, you know, you split a rock, these huge rocks, you want to get a nice clean split, you'll drill a couple of holes in a row, and then you'll drive a stake in, and you can drive that crack just like a crack in a windshield. And you can make it go in a very straight line, all sorts of different directions, the whole schmear. You can guide the crack to the next hole in the rock that you put and create a very complex cut if you want to. That's what's being done here. They're driving wedges in the world order, if you will, the way it exists, so they can break off pieces, reorient them, reshape the world to their own liking. And this event here is a perfect example where even Israel, for all that it was attacked, knew an attack was coming. Part of the question is, did they know with exact precision when it was coming, where it was coming from, where it was aimed at? They may not have had some of those exact specifics. They were in a zone. Could they act preemptively? Well, if they had, then they'd be the bad guys. And when the rocket attacks happened, it overwhelmed their defense systems. So they only have so much defenses. They don't, you know, if you could have anticipated it with enough precision, they'd have taken a strike. They'd have saved lives. But they obviously were caught off guard where it came from. They may have been looking further north for the attack. And the ruse was where the real strength is in Lebanon. That's where the real monster is. And that's where even right now, where they have got 250,000 troops ready to walk in and start dismantling Gaza and overturning every rock and anybody that's
Look like, Juanito?
Door-to-door combat.
I mean, how bloody is this going to get? Both sides, right?
Well, they'll civilians. Be pretty careful. They'll be pretty careful because they don't want any unnecessary deaths on either side, you know, including the civilians in Gaza. They don't want that because it's bad PR, if you will. They're going to try every way possible, but you've got people that if they catch the bad guys, any of those bad guys they catch, if there's so much as a chance they're going to hurt somebody.
What about the paragliders that flew into Israel at the festival? Where are they at? Did they just shoot?
Well,
where are they hiding out? Are they have to be in within the gates, right? I mean, or
well, they took hostages.
So, but
those
hostages
have been taken away. Well, they've taken them and gone back into hiding, gone back over the border. You know,
how many hostages do you think they've taken?
I don't think that we know with precision. I've heard numbers, but it's not thousands or hundreds. It's a dozen or two. But, you know,
that's Americans as well, right? There's Americans that they've taken.
Yes, and they've got some Americans, right? And then, you know, I know that Jordan's trying to help us, and Jordan's been a very important ally all the way through this. Both us and the Brits have pretty solid connections into Jordan, and they're trying to moderate in a lot of what's going on here. So Egypt was trying to help, you know, remember, Egypt led the way against Israel and a lot of this stuff, and now they're leading the way trying to make a difference. Very risky stuff. Libya under Gaddafi. Gaddafi was warning us on all the stuff related to 9/11 and being very adamant about who was behind different pieces. And then a different faction of our government made him the center focus. And then they stole all of his gold, $350 billion worth of gold back there in the 2012 range. So gold was a bit less than it is now, I believe, at that time. But, you know, that was the sovereign wealth fund for Libya. They stole all the arms that he had in his various storehouses, shipped it all up to the borders of Syria. So, you know, you want to look at part of what's coming here is that, you know, we're going to see people involved in the Russia, Russia, Russia theme being picked up here at some point. And
picked up. What do you mean picked up?
They
guess
will
my audience can use their
India.
Imagination. Yeah. Counterpunch.
So,
counterpunch,
that's
right?
What's coming. Yeah. That's what's coming. And this stuff.
Well, how's that going to happen? I mean, how's that going to look?
It's going to look beautiful.
Oh man. I wanted that. We can't really get into that type of stuff here, but I want to talk about the Davos crowd. Can we talk about the Davos crowd on the back channel?
Sure.
Let's do that. Let's move over to ninoscorner.tv. I think I gave my YouTube channel more than enough. I'll see you over at the ninoscorner.tv.
All right.
Let's talk about Davos. I want to talk about that.
All right. Fair enough.
Bye-bye.